hope you're doing well today in this heat. It's a great day to be here where it's nice and cool. I know some of you may be freezing, but it always feels good to me when it's nice and cool in here. So we have been talking about parables. Parables are stories that Jesus used to illustrate how we are to be, how we are to act, how we are to respond. This series is called Storytime with Jesus. And I am really excited this morning because I get to share with you the story of the unmerciful servant. This parable is also referred to as the parable of the unforgiving servant, the unforgiving creditor, the unforgiving wicked servant. You kind of get the idea, right? So, do you struggle with forgiveness? Do you struggle with holding a grudge? Want to have that axe to grind when someone treats you wrong? That's what this parable is all about. This morning, I have two special guests coming up with me, two of our young adults who have just graduated high school, and they are going to come up here and they are going to read our scriptures for us this morning. If you will turn with us to Matthew 18, and we are going to be in verses 21 through 35. So please hear the word of God.
And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity upon him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But then the servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coin. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded.
His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
This is the word of God for the people of God. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for this opportunity. The unforgiving servant. I think so often we can kind of, you know, understand where he's coming from to a sense, but we know that that's not the way we are to be. Be with us this morning. Bless these words. Let these people see you, not me. In your name I pray. Amen. So in case you don't know who I am Tammy Nall. I am the student director here at the church, and I have the amazing opportunity to work with the young people in our church, and I always tell them, once you graduate, you still belong to me and have to answer to me, so behave. So, you know, I am so tickled that these two young men were willing to do that for me this morning. So I have struggled with forgiveness. I think if we're all honest, we all have. We've all struggled. I have had people in my life who I admire, considered mentors, people who I loved and just thought the world of, that have hurt me and literally torn apart and destroyed what I thought about them. If you live in this world a little bit, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to each one of us. We are going to be done wrong. We are going to be hurt. We are going to have things that we just don't understand happen to us, sometimes by people we love so very much. So what do? Well, we act like Jesus, right? We turn to God for guidance. We follow the example that Jesus and God gave to us. You know, we have all the right answers, but are we truly living that out? I asked you earlier, do you struggle with forgiveness? Do you have a grudge that you're holding on to that you just aren't going to let go? Do you have an axe to grind? You want that revenge? So many of us have dealt with this. I'm here to tell you that so often we do not follow what God lays out for us. We just don't, because it hurts. If we did what Jesus has called us to do, what he talks about in this parable, think about how much different the world would look. If we chose to forgive instead of get them back, families would look different. Our congregation, our society, everything would look so different if the first response that we had was to forgive, not to get you back. You see, we sit in secret. We come to church and we sit here and we're hurt. We are bitter. We are living in our unforgiveness, and we can't figure out why we can't find joy and why we can't be happy, because we are allowing unforgiveness to enter and invade everything. We've been talking about these parables, and Pastor Ann said, which character represents you? Which character in this story of the unforgiving servant would you be? Well, for this one, so often it is the unforgiving. It's the unforgiveness that we just feel right to hold on to, that we feel like we were so done wrong and we can't let it go. Jesus here is telling us about an enemy of destruction. That's unforgiveness. And that enemy has the power, and we must recognize it and see it. And so often we don't. You see, we are hurt by each other. We are hurt by ourselves, or someone we love gets hurt by someone. And we all have a reaction to that. We all have something that we are going to react to. This is how we're going to stand. And we can allow an invasion of unforgiveness into our lives. You see, we are called to forgive each other, just as God has forgiven us, without setting limits on forgiveness. I love Peter. Peter and Paul are two of my favorites in the Bible, but I love Peter when he sits there. And I can sometimes just imagine Jesus sitting, and he's sitting with people, and he's sitting with the disciples, and he's just telling them a story to make them understand his point. And Peter looks at Jesus, and he says, but how much, Jesus, should we forgive? And you know, I don't think Jesus hesitated, because back in this time, the Jews were to forgive 7 times. But Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, 70 times 70. Some say he says 77, and that's not the point. The point that Jesus is making is that we are to have an infinite number of forgiveness. We are to continue to forgive over and over and over again. That's what God does for us. How many times do we mess up? How many times do we mess up doing the same thing? Now, I'm not saying that you have permission to do whatever you want, how many times you want to do it, because we should know better. We should learn from our mistakes. We should move forward and away from the sin and the issues that cause us to keep repeating those same things over and over again. You see, reflection of God's mercy is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a reflection of God's mercy. This parable teaches that our ability to forgive should mirror the amazing forgiveness that we receive from God. You know, we can't repay our debt. The debt that we owe for our forgiveness, the debt that we owe for our sin, we can't repay it for what we have received from God. So how do we forgive? Well, because we've been forgiven. This servant in this parable says that he owed 10,000 bags of gold. In today's society, that would be like millions of dollars, okay? There is no way he can repay his debt. Absolutely none. But he receives a pardon. He didn't deserve that pardon. He's the one who took all that money. He's the one that blew it or whatever he did with it, just like we do things. And he cannot repay his debt to who he borrowed from. He doesn't deserve it, and we are the same. We do not deserve what God has given to us. God sent Jesus to be our pardon for sin and a way to him. You know, every time I think about Jesus, one of the things I always go to is when he was on the cross. That means a lot to all of us. It means a lot to all of us what happened there and what Jesus chose to do. But there's something that Jesus says on the cross that means so much to me, and it always has. And it's when Jesus says, it is finished. You see, the Greek word Jesus actually uses here, and I'm going to try to say it correctly, is tetelestai. Tetelestai means it is finished. It is complete. This word was also written in the New Testament on receipts to show that a bill had been paid in full. You see, what Jesus is saying here is that his work, his fulfillment of the scripture, his life is the ultimate payment for our sins. And it's done. Think about it. We can't pay the debt that we owe, but God provided a way. It is finished. We ask for forgiveness, and we get it. Hebrews 9:12 and 26 reads, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Verse 26, otherwise Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all that the culmination of ages to do away with sin by the sacrificing of himself. Here's the thing, guys. It is finished means he took our debt. It means it's been wiped clean. It means we never have to pay it back. However, we are called by Christ to live a life that shows others who he is. We are called to live a life of it is finished. And the redemption that we have and the grace that God gives us through the forgiveness that we do not deserve. Unforgiveness has repercussions. Listen to that again. Unforgiveness has repercussions. Leviticus 19:18 reads, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Vengeance is for the Lord. Holding a grudge would go against what God is saying. God demands unity among his people and among his church. Love your neighbor as yourself. But don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. YOLO. You only live once. That's what that stands for. And I hear that so much in teens. I hear it on Facebook platforms, different social medias. But you only live once. Make it count. But that doesn't mean you get to go about life and do whatever you want just because you know you'll get forgiven. You need to love yourself and all God made you to be in order to love others like yourself. Self-care is so important. I have learned that this year. When you work in ministry and you go, 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 and you give, and I'm also a nurse, that's my full-time job, and it is a go, 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 give all the time, sometimes you need a little back. And I've realized this year. So I've taken some time for myself with God, not self-centeredness. I've taken some time to actually read the word more than just studying it to present it to students. I'm taking some time for me and taking a breath with God. You don't want to become self-absorbed because then you're not going to be reaching out. Unforgiveness, it also makes us try and handle things ourselves. We get hurt and we develop an angry and spiteful spirit. We want payback. We want to make them hurt as much as they hurt us. We want to get revenge. Vengeance is not yours. Vengeance is not mine. It will take us to a place that we may not even recognize who we are anymore. It's going to take you to a place when you look in the mirror, you don't even know who's looking back at you. I once watched this show called Revenge. It was about a young woman whose father was taken advantage of and put in prison for something he didn't do by a very wealthy family. And this young girl was taken away from her father. And she decided she was going to get revenge. She plotted this unbelievable, complicated plan that could only be done on TV. But she was not forgiving.
She was extremely unforgiving. She felt wrong and lost her father at a young age, and he was innocent. She was bitter. She was angry, done wrong. And you know what? It made for great TV. I watched it every week. And if you know the show, it was good. However, you know, she didn't end up happy. She got her revenge. She did all this plotting. Along the way, her plot kind of changed because things didn't work out the way she wanted them to. So she, you know, switched to a different thing. But she got her revenge, but she wasn't happy. The person that she loved from a child fell in love with someone else because of her plotting. She gets her revenge. She follows her plan. And she got what she wanted, but she's not happy. You see, this parable is telling us, if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. We will not have joy, and we will not have fulfillment, regardless of how much we try to do it ourselves. Do not hold your unforgiveness, because it will hold you more than you hold it. You will become someone you do not recognize, and the hold on you will not be released until you are forgiven. Forgiveness is also a heart matter. You see, true forgiveness doesn't come from here. It comes from here. True forgiveness from the heart is not just a statement that we make. It involves letting it go. Let it go. It involves letting that resentment go, that bitterness, and looking for reconciliation. And that's hard. This kind of forgiveness involves an emotional release and a decision to no longer hold it against the person. Forgiveness from the heart is a reflection of God's forgiveness for us. It's an act that not only sets the one who offended free, but it sets the one who was offended free. It is embodying the grace and mercy that we have been shown from God, and we extend it to others. Forgiveness isn't only for the other person. You know, forgiving the other person, it doesn't always change them. It doesn't change that they hurt you. But forgiveness changes you. Forgiveness also doesn't mean you forget. This is a theory that I just can't get behind. This forgive and forget, that's what God does. But I'm not God. And sometimes it creeps back in. And sometimes maybe I see that person and we're no longer talking and I forgave them. And that hurt comes back. You think about that person maybe. Maybe you're thinking about them this morning. And that hurt just cuts you. But you forgave them because you're remembering the hurt. Guess what? You have the opportunity to forgive them again. You see, this isn't always a one-time thing. You must put into practice and forgiveness. Sometimes it's daily. There have been people in my life that have just hurt me. And it's a daily forgiving because it just hurts that much. So I can't get behind this theory of forgive and forget. I think sometimes it's a process. And sometimes it's a process that just continues. God never intended for you to be in a state of unforgiveness. You forgive because God forgives you. You forgive so you can move forward and sometimes forgive yourself. I bet, if asked, many of us in here would admit to holding on to hurt. Right now, sitting in here this morning, you would admit to holding on to unforgiveness for someone. We can no longer actually go to that person. And we can no longer tell them that we forgive them. Maybe they're no longer here. Maybe they're no longer in your life. Maybe you don't even know where they are. However, it doesn't mean forgiveness isn't needed. Remember, forgiving allows you to be free. Forgiveness isn't just for the other person. Yes, forgiveness is to forgive them. But forgiveness allows you to be free. You see, forgiveness, lastly, is an act of grace. Forgiveness is an act of grace. Forgiving someone is not about whether or not they deserve it or not. It's an act of grace. Just as we have been forgiven by God through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it is finished. Does that mean we're never going to mess up again? No, we're going to mess up. I do daily sometimes, especially my mouth. It gets me in trouble. It just is what it is, because I say what I think sometimes before I filter it. However, would you really want to line up and see if the actions you've shown deserve forgiveness? Would we really want to go around the room in here and go, okay, Pastor Ann, so tell me your beef. You know, spill the tea. Tell me what it is. You know, would we really want to do that? No, and we don't have to. God gives us grace. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us love. And we don't deserve it. We don't. We live a sinful life. But through what Jesus did for us, we have forgiveness. And we can't miss this, because what we deserve is death. We do not deserve eternal life in heaven with God. But because Jesus loved us so much, it is finished. And He gave us the way. God has given us life. In a world full of unforgiveness, watch the news. Go to the grocery store. People get like cart mad. Or if you stand in one area trying to decide what you want, they're like, excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know. Or they just shove past you. We live in this world of unforgiveness. And people seeking payback. Brokenness. Anyone you talk to. I'm sure daily you talk to someone who has a complaint. And that's really hurt. Those complaints sometimes they have, it's a hurt. They just don't know how to properly express it sometimes. And we live in a world where unforgiveness, brokenness is at an all-time high, and forgiveness is the only way out. It has nothing to do with what's fair. Is it fair that someone treated you wrong when you did nothing wrong? No. It has nothing to do with being fair. It's not easy, but it's the only way out of the cycle, and it requires more from each of us. How many of you sit here today, and if I asked you to stand up, you would jump out of that seat, and you would say, yes, I'm a Christ follower? If so, then you're expected to forgive, because you are following the example that Christ laid out for you. Remember at the beginning of this, I talked about how we are not deserving of this. The people who hurt us, maybe they don't deserve your forgiveness. But we are to live out a life to show people who Jesus Christ is. And by giving Him your forgiveness, by giving her your forgiveness, that's what you're doing. I get it. I hear it so much. And I hear it so much from students, but Miss Tammy, you don't understand. I was so wronged. They hurt me so bad. What they deserve is payback. Jesus took on the sin on a cross. Yours, mine, all the people who hurt you and are going to hurt you. Your love for God is shown by how you forgive those around you. And this isn't something that's going to happen instantly. This isn't something that you're going to leave here today and go, I'm just going to forgive everybody. It is just not that easy. It's hard. But when you are a Christ follower, and that's what you admit to do, you're called to forgive. Healing is possible through forgiveness and moving forward and not revisiting. Sometimes it creeps back in. Sometimes you have to forgive again. But sometimes you can actually move forward. I'm going to leave you with this that I have to say again, because I thought it was pretty cool. And it's not mine. I stole it from another preacher. But don't hold on to unforgiveness, because it will hold on to you more than you hold onto it. And I'm going to read it again because it's that good. Don't hold onto forgiveness, because it will hold onto you more than you hold onto it. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I thank you so much for this day. Unforgiveness, I'm dealing with it now, if I'm honest. And it is a daily forgiving. It is a daily dealing, and it is a daily thing that I have to look at. But God, I choose to follow you. And I choose to acknowledge that the forgiveness you give to each one of us, none of us deserve. This is a debt that we can't pay back. You answered Peter, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 70. Or 77. That infinite number. We are to settle. We are to move forward. We are to forgive. But the biggest thing is so we can live under the example that you gave us. Thank you for this day. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.